You are now listening to Discover Your Potential with renowned radio talk show host and certified holistic practitioner, Cindy Gilman. So listen, participate, be inspired. Know that you can discover your potential. Here she is, Cindy Gilman.
Everybody, for sharing an hour of your holiday weekend with us. And whenever you listen to the program, whether you hear it today or whether you hear a podcast of it in a few days, if you go to www.wdyptalkradio.com, that's WDYP for Daniel U. Person, WDYPtalkradio.com. Well, what a week it's been, huh? Full moon. Whew, what a full moon. You know, I talked before a few weeks ago about a shift, and I know for not only decades but centuries, people have been talking about a shift in consciousness. Well, the shift is on, and those of us who are spiritually involved, we've been feeling it. I've been getting phone calls from people saying that they're having spiritual experiences, and it's okay. You know, if someone who has passed on or transitioned, if they're connected with you in some way, if you dream of them, it's all right. You loved them when they were here, and they just want you to know that they're watching over you. But it's been an interesting week. I know a lot of people are very stressed out right now. I see it. I see it in the supermarket. I see it. People are getting into arguments over masks. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. But just take a few deep breaths and try to relax. Yes, it's a shift time, but it's like a bump in the road. And like any bump, you'll go into smooth sailing after you go over the bump. So, and I keep hearing on TV, remember, we're all in this together. Well, let me tell you something. Not only are we all in this together, we are all connected as one. We are one. We are connected. Each person comes into the world with different abilities, different talents, different passions, but we're all part of one. So follow your passion. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to follow what you truly want to do. Let me read something inspirational. Believe in yourself and always believe in your unlimited potential. Whatever you seek within you is every potential you can imagine. Always aim higher than you believe you can reach. So often, you'll discover that when your talents are set free by your imagination, you can achieve any goal. Follow your passion. If people offer you their help or wisdom as you go through life, accept it gratefully. You can learn much from those who have gone before you, but never be afraid or hesitant to step off the accepted path and strike off on your own. You are meant to be whatever you dream of becoming. Know that you have the unlimited potential. So, I hope everybody is enjoying the holiday weekend. And we have a new engineer today, Thomas. Hi, Thomas. Thomas isn't talking to me right now. Hi. How are you doing today, Thomas? I miss Doug and Don, but I know you're going to do a great job keeping me together on this HD radio. So, this is WBBS Radio, and, you know, we are so blessed. I just want to say thank you to Doug and Don for giving us this venue, this opportunity for people to share their message, bring people on as guests to share their journey. They are the entrepreneurs who have given us the time to share what we can share. So, if you want to call in, Thomas will be there to take your call. The number is 888-627-6008. And I'll repeat that. 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. We always like the audience to take part in the conversation. Just give us your first name and where you're calling from. And as I said before, if you missed part of the program, or if there's part of a program that you didn't jot down, because today there will be, you can always go to the podcast in a few days at www.wdyptalkradio.com. Now, many of you who are regular listeners know that I am a psychic medium and a certified relaxation counselor and spiritual energy practitioner. But many of you don't know that I started out as a child performer. Yes, I was a singer. I sang concerts by the time I was 7 years old. I was singing on radio, TV. But I had another ability that I didn't even realize. I just thought everyone sensed things about people. Little did I know that wasn't the case. And I always thought that if people put their hands over someone, they could make them feel better. My kindergarten teacher told my mother that every morning when the class would sit on the floor before we sang our songs, I would walk around the circle and put my hands over everyone's head. I just thought I was helping them feel better. And when my grandmother had severe arthritis in her hands, I would put my hands over her hands, and I could feel my hands get very warm. And we'd watch the swelling in her hands go down. And she would say, and I was 5, 6 years old, and she would put her hands over my face after the swelling would go down and say, God is with you. And I thought to myself, even as a small child, of course, the divine creator is with all of us. We're all part of it. The divine creator watches over each of us, and there's part of that's within each of us. So I want you to remember that we are all part of one. Now, a few weeks ago, I asked a favor of you. I know a lot of people out there are hurting. They may have lost their jobs. They have families to take care of, to feed. And I asked you, and I'm asking you again, if you have an extra $5 or $10, when you go into the market, get some non-perishable foods or even a package of disposable diapers and bring them to the nearest food bank or food pantry. You can't imagine how much they appreciate it. And it doesn't take a lot of effort. get a bag of things, good food, non-perishable, because people, although they are often embarrassed by even going to a food bank or food pantry, they really need to feed their families, their children. So I hope you'll do that, not for me, but for them. And I will tell you, you'll feel so good when you know you've made a difference in someone's life. Well, we have a wonderful program today. You know, I asked, what is an artist? Well, when I think of the word artist, so many images come to mind. So many different types of artists. Not just painters, sculptors, animators, craftspeople, people who work with wood, people who make films, people who are artists that help people to look better, even our dentists, that give us that nice smile, even if people can't see them under the mask. There's so many people who are different types of artists. If you have the passion to be an artist of any type, follow that passion, that dream. Learn all you can to share it with the world. Not for accolades, but to touch the lives of others. And through that, a great feeling will fill your soul. I also want to mention that this Thursday is my sweetie, my grandson, Michael's birthday. So, Michael, your grandma's saying, happy birthday, sweetie. And I won't call you my little sweetie because you're getting to be a big boy, 8 years old. Happy birthday, sweetie. And next Sunday is Grandparents' Day. So remember your grandparents, or if you still have your grandparents, let them know how much you appreciate them. Today we have a very special guest who is an artist in his own right. I met our guest about 20 years ago, and I have to tell you, there are people who are chefs who learn how to cook, and then there are master chefs. There are people who bake, and some become master artists at their craft. My guest today is a master pastry chef. Hope you've got your taste buds ready and a pad of paper and a pen. He's won so many pastry awards at the Food Network. He's traveled all over the world, teaching his ability and his talents. And I am so grateful that he is able to spend this hour with us. Jörg Amsler, welcome to Discover Your Potential.
Hi, Cindy. Honored to be here. Very excited to spend some time with you.
I can barely hear you, Jörg. Can you make your phone a little louder?
Yeah. I said thank you for having me. I'm very, very excited to spend the next hour with you and your guests.
Oh, I am very excited. And, you know, I have seen your work, and you are more than a pastry chef. You are a true artist. Jörg makes these cakes with characters that he sculpts out of, is it fondant?
Yeah, I use different materials. Fondant is one of them.
Mm-hmm. And he is able to sculpt out different characters. The one that stands out in my mind is the birthday cake that you made for my niece, Gracie, when she had a zoo birthday party. And you created, you sculpted and made animals that looked so much like real animals. I couldn't get over it. and you airbrush them with the color with frosting.
Right. Yeah. I remember that. That was a great fun project and for a great little girl. And I remember the zoo theme, and we made all these animals and made them kind of realistic and colorful. And I also remember that she absolutely loved it.
Yes, she did. It meant, and I loved it. I mean, it's just, your masterpieces are just beyond a pastry chef. You're an artist. And
thank
you've
you.
Won so many awards on the Food Network.
Yep, I've done a lot of shows and competitions and judge competitions. And, I've done many, many different competitions and won awards, and I've been very blessed that way.
Well, you deserve to win the awards. Now, I understand, and we had a conversation a day or so ago about your background and found out that each of us started out in the music business.
That's right. When I was in school, first of all, I grew up in Switzerland, and
right.
There's not that much going on. I'm kind of from the Swiss Alps, and you know, there's a lot of land and a lot of cows, and not really anything else. And so, music was something that I always loved, and I was self-taught, actually. I picked up a guitar and learned how to play and became better at it. We formed a band and entered some competitions and talent shows, and after winning some of those, we were asked to go and, record a record. Obviously, back then, it's called a vinyl,
mm-hmm.
I guess the young folks don't know what that is. It's, you know, today you just stream music and download it, but back then you would record and go into studio, and we had a good run, and so we were off to tour in France and Germany and Austria and all of Switzerland and Italy, and so we had a really, really good time touring in Europe as very, very young musicians. I mean, we were like 19 years old.
Wow. What instruments did you play?
I played the guitar, and I also played the saxophone. Our music style that we played was called ska, and it's kind of a form of a fast reggae. And very often there is like trumpets and a brass section in it, and so I would help out our trumpet player, and then mainly played the guitar.
Did you play alto sax?
Yes, I did, yeah.
That's what I kind of thought.
Yeah.
So you told me a story that when you were 9 years old, what happened?
Right. Yes, so, you know, I just recently went back to visit my house, and my mom came up to me and said, look, you have all these old school stuff here. You know, why don't you go through and we sort it out and take with you what you want for, you know, memories, and, you know, the rest I'll just leave here at the house. And so I looked through it, and I found an essay from when I was 9 years old. And the title was, you know, what would you like to become as far as a profession? And, of course, this is so long ago, I had no idea what I wrote. But I wrote that I wanted to be a baker and a pastry chef.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of blew my mind. I mean, that was just so, I couldn't even believe, because, you know, a normal kid would say, I want to be an astronaut or, you know, a pilot or something like that. And I literally, back then, you know, as a nine-year-old kid, I wrote, I wanted to be a pastry chef.
And you looked at it and probably said, what did I just write?
Right. I actually showed it to my mom, and of course she didn't know either. And we were both kind of astonished, and you know, it was like, oh my God, you know, talking about a dream come true, you know. So that goes way, way back. And like I said, I had no idea how to wrote that.
So was she your first teacher?
You know, it's interesting that you say that. And, you know, she wasn't a teacher as in you would think of a teacher in a schoolroom.
Oh,
but yes,
right.
You're correct, because I was the youngest, and, you know, I admit it, I was a mommy's boy. I absolutely loved my mother and my grandmothers, And mm-hmm. all three of them were just incredible, great cooks. And they will cook everything and anything from scratch. And my
wow.
favorite thing to do would be when she will grab me by my waist and lift me up to the kitchen counter. Mm-hmm. And I would just watch her chop onions and clean vegetables and, you know, prep meals and saute things.
Mm-hmm.
And she always put me on that kitchen counter and I would just sit there. And, of course, if she will bake, you know, I will get the little ladle and clean the bowl and, you know, lick the ladle. And it was mm-hmm. just memories that, you know, I think they're actually so far back that those are one of my first memories. And I just absolutely love to spend time with my mom in the kitchen.
Now, is your mom still in Switzerland?
Yeah, my mom's still in Switzerland. My parents, you know, both were there. Unfortunately, I just lost my dad a few months ago. But my parents and my whole family, everybody's in Switzerland. I'm basically the only one out here.
I didn't catch what you said. What happened?
I said that my entire family is still in Switzerland, all my siblings, and mm-hmm. I'm the only one that's out here in the United States.
Is your mom still here?
Yes, she is. And okay. my dad just passed away a few months ago.
I am so sorry for your
yeah.
loss.
Thank you.
So how often do you go back to Switzerland?
You know, I try to go at least every 2 years. I'm very fortunate that my parents and my siblings always love to come over here. And
mm-hmm.
so I do see my family every year, but I try to make an effort to go back, you know, to see obviously my family, but I also have very good friends back
right.
home in Switzerland. And so I would say every 2 years I go back.
Was it a big transition for you to come to the United States from Europe?
It was, because I kind of came here unexpected. I was working on a cruise ship and I disembarked here, my contract finished, and I was supposed to go back home, and
mm-hmm.
I just took like a 2-week vacation. That was in Los Angeles, and
mm-hmm.
I really, really, really liked it, and I ended up staying, not speaking a word of English, but, you know, eventually I found a job and, you know, got all my papers immigration-wise in order, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, started to create a life here in the United States.
Wow. So what brought you to the East Coast?
Like I said, I was on a cruise ship, and the contract that I had
mm-hmm.
ended up in San Diego, and so that was my disembarking port.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, I got off the ship, and I was in, you know, California, and that was it, basically. I was just, you know, dropped off off a boat, and here,
here you
I
are.
Am. And,
oh,
yeah,
Los
yeah,
Angeles, here we come.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
then you came to the East Coast, to the Boston area.
I was in Los Angeles for quite a little bit. I was there for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting time. It was a very rough time, I think, that Los Angeles had. That was from 1990 to 94. And we had the riots, the Rodney King riots, which was,
mm-hmm.
you know, a dramatic scene over there.
Right.
And we had, you know, the big fires and stuff burned
right.
down. It was just really, really severe natural disaster.
Was that in the 60s or early 70s?
No, that was in between 1990 and 94.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then we also had, unfortunately, we had that big earthquake. And
right.
what happened to me, I just started my own business for the first time. I started my first business. I had this really, really small place that I rented, and I converted it into a commercial kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was living above it in the attic. And it's a crazy story, but I adopted this cat that was a stray cat, and she would always sleep with me in my bed. And
mm-hmm.
one night she jumped on my chest and just crawled, literally she crawled me bloody. And I sat up in the bed and I didn't know what was going on. And about 40 seconds later, the earthquake hit and you know, everything was shaking and trembling. And my house actually collapsed. And I was very fortunate to be up in the attic. And I remember crawling out of the vent shaft from the attic, which was, you know, down on the ground, and I basically lost everything. I lost my business and everything I ever had, and the house was condemned, and I could never go back in, and so I was on, literally on the street with nothing but my car. I've lost everything in that house, and it was all gone for good.
Oh, dear. So now what got you into being a pastry chef? Was there something that drew you to creating these beautiful pastry cake masterpieces?
Well, you know, I did learn that profession back in Switzerland, so I did take a professional apprenticeship in baking and pastry, which is a four-year program. And then in addition, I went on and I got my master's in chocolate, and, you know, so I'm a Swiss chocolatier. And so that was my education. I did this all in Switzerland, and then eventually when I came to the United States, I, you know, started working in my profession. So I worked at really, really great establishments with really great chefs. And eventually when I came over here to the East Coast, after I lost everything in the earthquake, the only thing I really had left was I had those an old VW, you know, the hippie bus, the camper bus. And so I took my bus and I rode to the East Coast, and I got over here, and, you know, I started a new life over here because I came literally with, you know, for the second time, I just came over here with nothing.
Was there one particular teacher or mentor that stands out to you as having an impact?
Yes, there is. It's interesting that you asked that. There's actually two. One of them was René Bommely, that's his name. He was the executive chef at the commissary at the bake shop where I learned. And he was just a very, very charismatic, great guy that had an incredible knowledge, that was a great artist, very talented. And he also wanted to share everything he knew with anybody that wanted to know. And I most certainly took that philosophy from him. You know, as you know, I'm teaching all over the world, and anything I know, I'm happy to pass on. But he was a great guy.
I think that's one of the most rewarding things you can do, is take the knowledge you know and pass it on to others.
Yeah, I totally agree, because especially in my business, you know, when it comes to recipes and things, you know, a lot of people are very secretive about it.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like that, you know, it's becoming a lost art. People just don't bake and cook that much anymore. And so, you know, anybody that shows interest definitely will tell you anything I know and anything I learned, I'd be very happy to pass on to you.
You know, but feeding people is such an organic, it's such an incredibly satisfying thing to be able to nourish people and cook people for people, and and especially with desserts, with pastry, and I mean your pastries are literally a piece of art.
Thank you. Yeah, I know what you mean. And you know,
Thomas, did you say we had a caller?
Yes.
Aha. Okay. Hi, you're on the air. This is Discover Your Potential.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, it's my brother.
And your friend.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I am so, so thrilled to hear your voice, York.
Good to hear you.
You know, it's funny because I've got so much I'd like to respond to some of your stories and the dialogue you guys have created, especially the fact that you admit that you are a mama's boy, because you're a pretty big dude.
Yeah, I stand tall
but,
and
you
a
know,
broad shoulder as a big guy.
But you're a big bear.
Yeah.
a soft teddy bear. I won't take up too much of
share with us
time
because you've.
But I just wanted to say yes. You have blessed the world with your artistry, but more so to me, you've blessed everyone you've come in contact with your humankind.
Thank you.
You know, you mentioned this zoo cake that York made for Gracie's birthday, and it was so memorable, so incredible. Everybody was just flabbergasted, parents, children. But what really stands out to me for that whole day was when York and his wife came to deliver the cake. They asked me if they could please come to the zoo also to be part of it because they just wanted to, you know, see the kids and how they'd react. And this is just part of what York's spirit is all about. I know he has, you know, won great awards. I'll never forget him, you know, building the Taj Mahal out of white chocolate. Food Network, but you know, more than that, it's just him sharing himself. My son, when he was a little kid, he asked that his birthday party could be at York's Bakery, and that he could teach all his classmates to do some pastry items, and at the time. He didn't have a lot of boy friends because the boys were all kind of into sports and everything. And he invited the class, and the most macho little boys were the ones
little jocks.
That were so taken. Yeah, the jocks were the ones that were so taken because York was such a great sharer. And they loved making chocolate boxes and cream puffs and everything because York put a lot of his spirit into it all. And so, York, you really have blessed us a great deal.
Oh, I appreciate it, Ken. Thank you for your kind words.
I think his work and his spirit blesses everyone whose life he has touched.
Well, it's a great connection, your work and your spirit. You know, throughout my career as a dentist, people would often ask me what I did. And I would say to them, what I do to make money or what's my life work? You know, sometimes there's a connection. Sometimes there's a disconnect. With York, there's definitely a connection because he puts his life and his character and his spirit into what he does. And
but
I just wanted
at,
to
know,
also mention, you know, he mentioned that he, you know, you asked him, was it difficult transitioning to the United States? You didn't mention that it was facilitated by having a sweet, wonderful wife that you have.
Is that Linda Lou?
Yes.
And Ken, you knew Linda.
Yeah,
I'm sorry?
Ken knows Linda. You know Linda.
Of course, I met her first.
Yeah.
I was the dentist on the cruise ship, and Linda was one of the nurses.
Right.
And York was stuck in the kitchen the whole time. He never got out. And then I was just thrilled when they ended their cruise career and settled in my area in the Boston area.
Right.
And from what I understand, Linda cooks quite well. She has her own recipe for lobster mac and cheese.
Yeah, she's a great, phenomenal cook. Really good.
And I know your son, William, my nephew, who I love dearly, he loves to cook.
He does. He does. As a matter of fact, he's cooking right now for his sister, Gracie, who had her wisdom teeth out Friday. So She's got to eat softly, so he's making her a special mac and cheese as we speak.
You know, I just want to mention, Ken, you know, when I talked about different types of artists and how artists can touch people's lives, and in your work, you're not just filling teeth. You're giving people back a smile that they can be proud of. So you're helping lift their self-confidence and their self-esteem. Pardon?
Yeah, okay. We won't get into that because I'm way too modest.
Oh, come on.
Let's just talk about York, because I'll never forget his cakes. York, do you remember? I don't know how old Will was. I think he was 10 or 12. And all he wanted for his birthday was to go and make a cake with you. And he wanted to design the cake. And he loved popcorn. And we came from the movies and you guys made a bag of popcorn cake out of fondant that was so realistic. You just wanted to stick your fists in the cake and pull out popcorn.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
He made the popcorn the cake also?
Yeah, yeah. We made the popcorn and the little box, and all you wanted to do was take it and go to the movies.
Yeah, but that cake you made for Gracie's Zoo Party, and then when Will was born, I think you made a Berenstain Bears or some kind of Bears.
Yep.
Kate, what was that? It was a famous kind of Bears.
Was it a Paddington Bear?
No.
It was one of those branded bears, yeah. I forgot the name, but yeah.
It was either the Berenstain Bears or some kind of bears in the park. It was absolutely astounding. There was one bear that was pulling out this long line of linked sausage, and each sausage was so realistic coming out of the little basket. Oh, absolutely incredible. Well, before I go off, I just wanted to say I'm so sorry for you losing your dad. I know what kind of a family person you are, so I truly send my heart out to you for that. And it was just wonderful hearing your voice. Sin, I'll talk to you again soon. You take
care. Thanks so much for calling
in. Ken.
I love you, Ken.
Thank you,
love
Ken.
Love you guys.
All right,
bye-bye.
Be good. Bye.
Oh, that was a nice surprise.
Sure, yeah, he's a great guy.
Thomas, we're going to take a short break. Thomas, are you there? Okay, we're going to take a little commercial break. York, stay with me, because we still have lots to talk about.
Yep, I'm right here.
Okay, you're listening to Discover Your Potential. I'm Cindy Gilman. Today's guest, pastry chef extraordinaire, York Amsler. We'll be right back after this message.
For decades, medium Cindy Gilman has helped people connect with their loved ones who have passed and send spiritual energy to those in need. Now you can too. Phone sessions are individual and confidential. Now during this difficult time with COVID-19, she can help you more than ever. Everyone needs some healing. For your phone session, contact her via email cindy@cindygilman.com.
Yes, I am doing, I just want to mention, from now on, I will be doing for regular mediumship readings and for healing sessions. I just want to say, believe it or not, healing energy can be even stronger when it's sent through the phone waves. For some reason, the technology of phones creates the healing energy even stronger. So you can either contact me at cindy@cindygilman.com, or you can call the office number 401-885-4115. And we're going to talk a little bit about Jorg's work today, but if you want to contact him, you can go to his Facebook page, York. That's J-O-R-G, Amsler, A-M-S-L-E-R. That's Facebook. Or you can email him at yorkamsler1@gmail.com. And we'll tell you why you can contact him. So, what are you doing now, York?
Well, you know, right now with the COVID and everything, you know, all of my stuff that I had scheduled since February right through basically December, right through the year, unfortunately, everything got canceled. So, yeah, everything literally got canceled and you know, postponed. And so I have two things that I do. I'm also a licensed lobsterman. I have a lobster license, and so I love to go out on the water. I actually, as a matter of fact, I just got back off the water. I'm out there fishing and lobstering and pulling my traps and just enjoying being out on the ocean. And the other thing is that I've done for many, many years and I have a great passion for it is I work as a very specialized carpenter. I work with a group of people that we do some really, really cool stuff up here in a lot of historic district. We remodel and repair old building, a lot of custom work and handmade materials that we create. And it's just a really, really cool, fun job. And it's, you know, it's kind of a balance too, because I deal with all these fine tools and spatulas and pipe bags, and I even have a dental instrument set that I use for my chocolate carvings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I get to hold the big saws and the big, you know, the big tools, and I'm hanging out with the big guys. And it's a nice, fine balance that I have between the two. One is very intricate and very fine detailed. And then the other one is like, you know, big power machines, and it's a nice balance. So I really, really enjoy it, and I'm very blessed that I was able to work through this whole pandemic and you know, had a job and pay my bills, basically.
I know. It's a tough time. I mean, literally, what they keep calling that this is the new normal. Doesn't feel normal, but obviously we're tapping into whatever, and you seem to have a number of different creative abilities that you can use. You told me you don't sell the lobsters. You give them away. You cook for other people.
Yeah, it's just, I've never sold one. I always give them away. I have, you know, many of friends that that want them and you know, ask for them. And so it's a really nice gift. And, you know, I like I mentioned, my whole family's back in Switzerland, and not so much this year because of travel restriction, but, you know, every year my house is just like an ant farm. I mean, my house, like last summer, I had 9 people for 3 months. And so everybody loves to go on the boat and loves to eat lobsters. And so, you know, those things come and go, and I don't sell them. And it's a hobby for me. And I even go as far where I don't even take the female lobster. You know, I want to put them back for reproducing, and I just take the males, and you know, that's all I need. I don't need to take more than I need. And so, like I mentioned, like I said, it's a hobby. Not, I don't make a living off that.
But if people would like to order one of your real artwork cakes that are within the New England area where they can pick them up, because you can't ship them, can they order a cake from you?
Yeah, the only problem is with that it's actually easier if people do this on a short notice. I mean, I do need notice, but it's hard for me to set the date, let's say in November, because I have so many traveling options coming up, and some of them can be very, very short term. And, you know, I have to take them. Like, one of my sponsors can call me and say, hey, we have this, you know, sugar installation. Can you go to Dubai for 4 weeks? And I don't want to miss out on that just because I took a small order of, you know, 12 cupcakes, and now I have to be here. That, so if there is a fine line when and how much I can do, and if I'm here, I'd be happy to do it.
Okay, so let me tell our audience, if you have an event coming up.
Yep.
Where you would like a beautiful, and when I tell you, and my brother just said, one of his magnificent cakes in a short time, either go to his website, not his website, his Facebook page, which is Jorg, J-O-R-G, Amsler, A-M-S-L-E-R, or you can email him at jorgamsler1@gmail.com. And if you have an event, now we have a weird rule going on in Rhode Island right now. Our governor has, she's been, you know, trying to keep the rate of positive virus cases down. So she's allowing people to have 13 or 15 people at a gathering. But if you hire a caterer, you can have more. So if you would like a specialized cake for an event, a birthday, a wedding, a bar mitzvah, get in touch with Jorg if you're within driving distance. And when I tell you, this is a cake like you've never seen before or tasted before. And some of the characters that he puts on those cakes are absolutely so lifelike. I want to ask you a question, York.
Sure.
And over the years, you've studied under different people. I know you had told me that in Switzerland, most people apprentice under one teacher.
Correct.
Is there a teacher or teachers that you would say influenced you the most?
Yes, there's a couple of people. Number one, and we were just talking about that before, Ken Calvin was my old master chef that I had in my apprenticeship, you know, the guy named René Beaumelé, and he was just a wonderful, wonderful man.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely he's one of them. Another great teacher I had when I was working for the cruise line, I was the youngest hired executive pastry chef, and I achieved some very high ratings. I achieved the highest ratings in customer, you know, surveys. And so as a reward, they sent me to France to Paul Bocuse. And Paul Bocuse is a world-renowned, you know, ouvre maître de la France chef. And it was just amazing to work in his establishment. I remember walking in the first day, and, you know, the entire kitchen was just out of copper, every stove, every pot, every pan. And
wow.
It sounds a little weird, but the way this was run was like, you know, a military. There was a rank, and everybody had his place. And, you know, the only thing you would say would be, we chef. And it was just amazing to learn because they wanted to train master chefs, not just tell people how to cook.
Right.
Their goal was to train, you know, to have you become a master at your craft. And, you
right.
know, I was always very, very thirsty for learning, and I always loved and I was passionate about new things to learn, whether it's cultural or ingredients or whatever. And so just being there and being able to make a stage there was, you know, that was life-changing for me.
Does one of your specialty cakes stand out as one of your favorites?
You know, I get asked a lot, what do you like the best or what do you like to make the best?
I'm sorry.
You know? And it's funny because what I really like about my profession is I like the diversity. I don't
right.
have, like, one cake that I like to do. I
right.
love that I get to work with sugar. I get to work with chocolate. I get to work with sculpting cake. And I really like the diversity. I think that's my favorite thing about it.
But there isn't one or two that you stood back and said, wow, this is really good.
You mean one particular cake?
Mm.
Yeah, there's a cake that I teach as a class, and when I did it for the first time before I was teaching the class, and I really, really liked it. And it's an octopus cake, and I make a lifelike 3D octopus on a rock with a lot of maritime stuff, corals and little fish swimming around. And as you know, I'm a lobsterman, and I just love the water. And so anything that has to do with under the water, under the sea, I absolutely love. And it's a great cake. It's a really fun looking cake.
That does sound like fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, you know, you got the 8 tentacles going in all directions and that big golden eye from an octopus. And
you can really get creative with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a great cake. I really, really love that one.
Would you like to share one or two recipes with our listeners?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, what shall we share?
Well, you know, since we're talking of lobsters, and you know, I'm here in New England, one thing that I really, really like, and I think, you know, people love to eat it, and I think it's fairly simple to make, is actually like a really good, tasty lobster bisque.
I love that.
Yeah, and it's really not hard to do, and it's, you know, it sticks to your bone, especially in the winters here, and it's a great flavor, and it's really, really not hard to do. So
let's give out the ingredients and give all our listeners a lesson in how to make lobster bisque, style.
Okay. So what I do is, you know, let's say we're taking four lobsters.
Okay.
So I'll take four lobsters, and what you basically need to do is a stock. You need to make a lobster stock, just like you would make a chicken stock or a veal stock. Basically, it's a broth that you cook and you take the flavors out of it. So it's very simple to do. You can take a little butter in a pan and you put some onions and celery and carrots in there. Mm-hmm. And you want to boil your lobster separate first, just a little bit so that you can extract the meat. And so you can crack the claws and take the meat out and you put that aside. And so when you have your lobster bodies, you can put that into that what's called a mirepoix. It's those vegetables that you sweat in the pan.
What particular vegetables?
You take onion, celery, and carrots.
Okay.
So, you know, those are your classic three vegetables. You take a little butter, a little olive oil. You just sweat them, you know, roast them up in the pan a little bit. And so now you can take your lobster bodies and your claws and your shells and everything that you have left over from those lobsters, you put in there, and you also put maybe 2 spoons of, like, tomato paste in there. Okay? I mean, it's fairly simple. There's really nothing to it. And then you've got to cover that with water. You're just going to cover the lobster bodies with water. That's about the right amount.
So approximately how much water do you put in?
You know, about 4 cups, maybe a quart.
Okay.
You know, maybe a little bit more. With 4 lobster body, it might be 1.5 quarts, about 6 cups of water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you're going to let that cook. And you don't want to, whenever you do a stock, whether it's a chicken veal or a lobster or fish stock, you don't want the water to really boil. You just want it to bring it to like a light simmer. You just want it to bubble a little bit.
Right.
So that the stock gets nice and stays clear and doesn't get all rolled around in there. And you cook that for about maybe, you know, 45 minutes or so. And then eventually when you're done with this, you can take it and strain it. And now you have that really nice, earthy cake and lobster broth. It should have a little bit of a red color to it because you have the tomato paste. You're going to just strain that, and now you put this back into the pan, And you want to reduce that about half the size of what you started with.
Okay.
So now you're just going to let it slowly simmer and you just reduce it. And when you have it reduced, you can add about a whole cup of heavy cream to it. I know there's a little calories in that, but, you know, we gotta do it right.
Hey, we've got to indulge ourselves a little
yes.
bit.
Yeah, and if you want to be really generous, you put a cup and a half.
Uh-huh.
And then you let that simmer again. You just reduce it a little bit. And that's basically your lobster bisque. So all you need to do now is you want to thicken that in a little bit because it'll be pretty, you know, runny, pretty liquidy. And the way you can thicken that in is by making a roux. And a roux is just a little bit of butter and flour you mix together, maybe a quarter stick of butter and maybe 3 tablespoons of flour. You mm-hmm. melt the butter, you put the flour in, you just roast that up in a pan a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you put, you know, spoon by spoon into your broth, into your lobster broth, mm-hmm. as how much you want, as how thick you want it. You can have it pretty liquidy, you can have it a little bit thicker, it's up to you. And then you really have to just season it out. You can put a little salt and pepper, and what I like to do is, and that's up to you, I like to put a little shot of cognac in there.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Yeah, so it's just a really nice touch. And I'm not, you know, we're not making a cocktail here. We're just putting a little
right,
bit of
just a little bit.
Yes, just a little flavor adder. And then what I do is I take my lobster meat that I have put aside, I put it in the soup bowls, and then I pour my hot lobster bisque on top of it. And I like to finish it maybe with like a nice spoon of creme fraiche. And if you don't have that, you can just take a little sour cream and maybe a couple of sprigs of chives. And if you make it thick enough, you can take one of the claws and lay it on top. And you have a wonderful, wonderful lobster bisque. Very earthy, very flavorful. And it's a comfort food. It's really easy to make. You know, it's. I think that when you go to a restaurant, you go like, oh, they have lobster bisque, and you think it's super fancy. But it's really easy to make, and so, you know, there you have it.
So we're gonna put that up on the podcast. So if you listen to the podcast in a few days at www.wdyptalkradio.com, you can write down Jorg's famous lobster bisque. Oh, it sounds wonderful. Oof.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Jorg, this hour has flown by. I want to give out your information because we're nearing the end of our time.
Yeah.
Jorg Amsler, JORGAMSLER, @gmail.com. Or you can check out his Facebook page, and there are pictures of some of the cakes. And believe me when I tell you, and you heard it right from my brother, and he's your best taster. If you need a cake, if you're within driving distance of the North Shore of Boston, call close to the time you need the cake, because once this COVID thing is over, Jorg is going to be on his way traveling around the world.
That's
Jorg,
right.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing a part of your holiday weekend with me, with our audience, and I wish you all the best. And I know everybody's taste buds must be salivating right now because we've mentioned so many delicious things. I wish you good luck in the future. And since I've tasted some of your, they're just wonderful. Keep up the good work. I know you're using all of your talents, and you have discovered your potential. Thank you so much, Jorg.
It was great talking to you. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. So this is Cindy Gilman. You're listening to Discover Your Potential. If you want to get in touch with me for a personal session by phone, it's Cindy at cindygilman.com or 401-885-4115. I look forward to doing a phone session with some of you. And this is September. It's a change of season. But there's still a little bit of summer left, so enjoy your time. Make sure you get some of that food to food banks. Wear your mask. May the Creator bless you with wonderful days, good friends, family. Do something nice for yourself this week.